After weeks of widespread, sometimes violent protests, the Greek parliament passed legislation on June 30th, authorizing austerity measures and a privatization plan that were required to secure emergency funding from the European Union to prevent the nation from defaulting on its debt. The majority of demonstrators were peaceful, but a small number of protesters fought running street battles with police that shattered windows in storefronts in central Athens. A slogan among anti-austerity protesters in Greece and across Europe is, "We won't pay for their crisis," embodying the sentiment among many Greeks who say they are suffering massive layoffs, privatization of national assets, and wage and pension cuts to protect European bankers. Protesters and some economists are concerned that the austerity budgets imposed on Greece and other European nations in financial crisis, such as Spain, Portugal, and Ireland, will further weaken these economies, making it more difficult for governments to pay down their debt. Greece's debt is now estimated at more than 2.5 times the country's gross domestic product, according to Global Finance magazine. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Peter Prontsos, professor of political science at Langara College in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Speaking from an airport, Professor Prontsos discusses the origins and consequences of the Greek financial crisis, as well as alternatives to the austerity policies that have provoked widespread anger and resistance.
One of the things that I think is really important to remember is that in reality, the crisis really wasn't caused by the Greek people so much as the elites in Greece and in Europe. There were a whole lot of factors that went into it. One of the problems is that the Greek government is not very efficient, and one of the things they've been letting go on for a long time, for decades actually, is that a lot of people, especially wealthy, just don't pay their taxes. I've heard about literally thousands of doctors who pay no taxes because they essentially get paid cash, and they tell the government, well, they only made, you know, $12,000 a year or something. So there's a huge deficit when it comes to having the revenues to pay off their debt. Another huge problem was when the Wall Street recession hit in 2008. One of the things that it did was to drive Greece into recession, which meant there were more people in unemployment, the economy was hurt, and their debt went up. And so now they're faced with a pretty enormous debt. It's about 113% of their GDP. And a lot of the banks who gambled on the bonds and thought they could make guaranteed profits on it are worried that they'll ever get paid back. Hence the need for the bailout.
Tell our listeners a bit about your cousin Maria and the pain that she's personally feeling from these cuts.
Okay, my cousin Maria lives in a small town called Silocastro, and she's been a high school teacher for about 26 years now. And when the first austerity came in last year, her pay, which was only around $2,000 U.S. a month for a full-time teacher, and those of us who teach know it's more than full-time, her salary was cut something like 20%. So she's getting $1,500 or $1,600 a month now for full-time work. When teachers and clerks and so on find either their jobs disappearing or their pay being cut, well, they're going to spend less in the economy. So more shops close, and more people are laid off, and they, you know, can't spend any money either, and so on and so on. And it's a recipe for increasing misery and suffering, and not a recipe that provides a stimulus to get the economy going again. I mean, a really good example of what will work was the United States when the Great Depression was on. A lot of things were tried, but it wasn't until the U.S. said, essentially, the heck with the deficit. We have a war to fight. Public spending, of course, increased. Unemployment disappeared overnight. And the U.S. economy came out of the Second World War the strongest in the world. Something similar is needed in Greece in terms, first of all, of debt reduction. Some of it has to be just written off. I mean, the speculators who bought the bonds were essentially gambling. They were risking their money in investment. So if the investment goes bad under, you know, basic economics, they lose, you know, part of the investment. The other thing is the remaining debt could be restructured. So instead of having to be paid back over, you know, 4, 5, 10 years, maybe make it 20 years. So something that's actually doable. And then the final aspect would be for the European Union to provide some aid to get people back to work, to get the economy going, And then guess what? As the economy picks up, as tax revenue picks up, Greece can pay off its debts.
We have seen some very militant and angry protests in the streets of Greece, in Athens in particular, people very angry and believing that the austerity asked of the Greek people is unsustainable. Where are those protests leading, in your view? Are some of the alternatives you just discussed, are they possible for the Greek people to demand of their government and the European Union as a whole?
There's something called the Troika, which is the three leading branches that are forcing these conditions on Greece, the European Commission, the IMF, and the European Central Bank. Now, what I'm hoping is that with the resistance of Greeks and others, Spaniards, Italians, Portuguese, and so on, creating enough opposition so that the European Troika says, okay, this is not going to work, and they recognize the danger of a default, which, again, as I said, could threaten, some people say could threaten the entire European Union project. They might say, okay, we're going to have to make some sacrifices. The biggest sacrifices would be made by banks in France and Germany and a little bit in Britain. The U.S. doesn't seem to have many deposits or bonds from Greece. They would have to accept a longer term to be paid back and probably forgiveness of some of the debts. One thing to keep in mind is the Greek gross domestic product is only about 3% of the European Union. So helping them out and actually providing funds to rescue the economy is not that big of a deal in terms of the European economy. What you have, though, are essentially banks and bondholders and insurance companies who just don't want to take any losses at all. So they will fight to the end to try and maintain this grip on Greece and squeeze as much blood out of Greek people as they can.
That was Peter Prontzos, professor of political science at Langara College in Vancouver, British Columbia. For more commentary on the Greek debt crisis, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.